Cafe, Red Rose Motel. Go to WJFFradio.org, register, and bid now.
Welcome to the Local Edition, local news and information keeping you connected here in Sullivan County, Catskills, northeastern Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Well, things certainly seem busier out there these days. Busier and busier seems more like summer every day. And the region seems to be recovering from the pandemic, but how did local businesses do during the pandemic? To find out, we'll be checking in with Jamie Schmeisser, President and CEO of Sullivan County Chamber of Commerce. Joining us live on air right now, we do have Dan Hoost from Sullivan County checking in with Sullivan County government because, you know, the primaries are here, believe it or not. If you're anything like me, maybe you're still recovering from the last election. Well, it's time to think of elections again. Early voting is actually underway in Sullivan County and will be going on until June 20th. And here to tell us all about this early voting in Sullivan County is Director of Communications for Sullivan County, Dan Hoost, live on the phone. How are you doing, Dan?
All right. How about you, Jason?
Doing good. Welcome back to the show. So, yeah, I can't believe it's already June, and we're already thinking about elections again.
Yeah, well, our Board of Elections hasn't stopped thinking about it, whether they want to or not.
Yeah, my condolences.
There's always something going on. There were village elections earlier in the year as well, so there's a lot that keeps them busy, and early voting is one of the big ones. It's a lot of effort and a lot of time. But unfortunately not a huge amount of turnout, at least at this point, maybe as the years go by and people become more familiar and comfortable with early voting. But as of today, we've had 7 people come in for early voting since we opened the polls on Saturday. So we'd like to see more people come in because it'll make our Board of Elections team and our inspectors feel that all that time and effort and preparation really was worth it. But that's up to the voter, as so many things are, because, of course, they not only have a chance to do early voting from now through this Sunday, but they also, if they choose, can do voting at their local polling location on Tuesday the 22nd, which is the actual primary day.
All right. And, you know, I remember talking to you last year about early voting and how it was going. I can't remember exactly when that was because everything's kind of scrambled up. But I have a feeling it wasn't actually at primary time because things were delayed a couple times last year. And on top of, you know, the delays and the pushbacks of the primary voting, and then also the fact that, you know, people pay more attention to the elections when there is a national presidential race. Those are the usual things that might lead to some drop off. But then there's also the fact that perhaps people were more concerned about COVID the last time you're doing this. You think that may also be playing into the turnout?
Well, you could. Local primaries always tend to be the least participatory for voters. There are candidates contested races in all of these, of course, but sometimes it's just for a local party's committee as opposed to an actual public elected position. I would say last year coronavirus definitely played a part, although in the presidential election I'm not sure that it really did reduce turnout. As you said, when it's big names and big races, people do turn out, and that even goes for primaries, at least at the state level. This year, I would say that we just have the typical primary situation going on where you have a smattering of races around the county. You guys have been good in promoting awareness of that, some other places as well. But for the most part, your average voter may not necessarily know, or dare I say it, even care, even though you and I, I'm sure, would say that, that they should. But it, I wouldn't call it apathy just as much as a feeling that they're still going to get a chance to have their say when the general election rolls around in November. And this... However, in several of these situations, there's an interesting three-way race set up, especially in the town of Rockland. The highway superintendent there has been the highway superintendent for years and years and years, longer than my memory goes back. He probably appreciates hearing me say that. But there's a three-way race for that position and to run for it under the on the Republican line, which in the town of Rockland is a very powerful line to be listed on. So I certainly expect that at some point it may take until primary day, but we are going to see a turnout of voters up in the town of Rockland to ensure that their preferred candidate gets that very important line come November.
So this is, you know, the week that early voting's happening. Like you said, you've got until is early voting happening on Sunday or is it
Yes, we're having early voting every day from now through Sunday the 20th. Monday the 21st, we will not have it. And that'll be in preparation for getting the polls ready for Tuesday the 22nd. We will not have the poll open at the government center like we do for early voting. We won't have that open on Tuesday the 22nd. But from now until June 20th, if you want to do early voting, you just stop at the lobby in the government center. We have two inspectors there. They'll guide you through the process. I would say from start to finish, it may not take anything more than 5-10 minutes. We have a privacy booth set up. We have distancing, social distancing precautions. You're not required to wear a mask unless you haven't been vaccinated against COVID. But because of course, of the small turnout, it's been very easy to keep people socially distanced. But if we happen to have a line, we have procedures in place because, of course, we did early voting at the government center during the height of the pandemic. And the only thing our Board of Elections commissioners, Cora Edwards and Lori Benjamin, wanted to be sure that I told you is that if you come, just in case there happens to be a line, you'll want to bring an umbrella in case of rain or extreme heat if you have to stand outside. That, though, shouldn't last very long because, as I said, the inspectors would get you through very quickly.
Okay. And I'm wondering, because it was quite a feat last year on multiple fronts. And frankly, when it comes to the people working the boards of elections, you know, they had a lot to do last year. But just in terms of early voting and doing that during a pandemic, was there anything that they learned that applies to this year and may continue to apply moving forward?
I think what they learned more than anything else was how to make the early voting process quick and easy, like we were just talking about. We had a good amount of people who participated in early voting last year because of the nature of the elections involved. And we had to be very much on our game with not only the process, but also the health and hygiene of people involved. And we're proud to say we didn't have any COVID-related cases with over 13,000 voters who came into the government center for early voting. And I would say probably after the 100 or 200 mark, they learned whatever lessons there were to be learned. But at 13,000, certainly that memory is fresh in our Board of Elections minds. And I would say that this primary process is probably considered a piece of cake compared to what that was. Yeah. I should mention, too, that this isn't every day 9 to 5 that this early voting is open at the lobby. You do want to check our website ahead of time because each day we have different hours for early voting. Some days are 9 to 5. Others, it ends at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Others will be in the evening so that we can accommodate people's different schedules. So just make sure that you take a look. We have it very conveniently listed on our website. Just look up the Board of Elections. You'll find the entire information there, including sample ballots of the different races that are going on, because we have races in the Republican, Democratic, and Conservative parties.
And right there on the homepage is also a little article saying expanded voting options return for the June primary. And click on that, and the first thing in that is all the different times that the early voting is available. So that's all right there. Again, sullivanny.us. And, I mean, you did mention the umbrellas. In terms of voting, what people need to vote, is there anything that people need to bring when they come to vote?
You could bring the barcode card that you got in the mail for easier check-in, but it's not a requirement. We just need to make sure that you know how to properly fill out the form. But our inspectors are there to help you with that. They obviously can't fill out the form for you, but they can give you all the instructions you need. And I've dealt with them personally myself, and I can't speak enough for our inspectors. They do a lot of work with a lot of people from all different backgrounds and who speak all sorts of different languages and have a different level of understanding of the voting process. And they make sure that every single person's attempt to vote counts as long as they are eligible to vote. So when you come, if you're missing something or you have a question or you're just concerned or unsure, they're there to answer questions. And their number one goal is to ensure you get the chance to vote. And especially if you come early in the early voting process, if for some reason you can't that particular day, you have until Sunday to come back. So I certainly would encourage people, if you're going to do some early voting, pick one of the days to come here so that you can make sure that everything goes the way that you want it to and that your vote counts.
All right. And before we go, in our last minute or so here, is there anything else that's going on in the county that you want folks to know about?
Yeah, actually, I'm very excited. We're going to make a bigger announcement about it tomorrow, but I'll give you the first heads up about it.
All right.
We have an intervention and prevention services dashboard that is already live, actually, on our website, but we will make the official debut tomorrow. It is similar to our COVID-19 tracker dashboard that we have on the public health site, except this is on our health and family services page. And it has a map. And it has a listing of all the locations where you can get all sorts of help and services, not only for substance use disorder issues, but also for housing, shelter, or housing and shelter, food, transportation, a number of different services that people may find themselves suddenly in need of or routinely in need of. And it has a map and all the contact information, including links to websites. And the coolest part of it is we're tied into the state's database. And for example, if you're looking for a mental health or substance abuse treatment bed, we could tell you how many are available in the county. And if there's a waiting list and how much time there is from you requesting that kind of treatment to actually getting that kind of treatment. So it's a very useful interactive dashboard that I think is going to prove to be very valuable to the people of the county to find out what they need and where they can get it.
All right, great. Well, and we'll keep an eye out for that announcement tomorrow, but thank you for announcing it here. And Dan, it was great talking to you. It's been a while since I've had you on live, so it's good having you on the program again.
It's a pleasure to be back again, Jason. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you much. This is Radio Catskill. It's a local edition, and just one more reminder of what we were talking about there in Sullivan County, that is. Early voting is underway, and it goes through Sunday. And there's more information at sullivanny.us, Sullivan County webpage, because each day between now and Sunday, early voting's open at different times to facilitate people being able to go there. sullivanny.us. And up next here on the local edition, we're sticking with Sullivan County. We're going with Sullivan County on our Monday here today. The region seems to be recovering from this pandemic as the vaccine distribution increases and infection rates remain low. But how did local businesses do during all this? And what's in store for the future of Sullivan County? Well, our own Patricio Rabayo spoke to Jamie Schmeisser, Sullivan County Chamber of Commerce President and CEO. They spoke earlier today, and Patricio asked her just that question. Jamie starts off by telling us how businesses were able to adapt during the pandemic.
It was a tough year, no doubt about it. Businesses did have to close, some of them permanently, some of them semi-permanently. Some of them are still struggling to open back up. A lot of our restaurants were very affected by the close downs, by the shutdowns. And so a lot of those smaller restaurants or people that were just getting started out, unfortunately, had to close their doors forever. But we're very hopeful that they'll come back on board once things, are open fully. In the interim, other businesses, we all learned to, and I hate using this word, but pivot or change our direction and learn how to wear different hats. And be very creative in how we present our products, and maybe not even using the same products that we were selling or manufacturing. For instance, there were several businesses that started doing things completely, not only being online and doing their work remotely, but changing what kind of products they offered. For instance, all our distilleries, for instance, Do Good Spirits pivoted and started making hand sanitizer. So things like that. And I really give a lot of credit to our businesses. They have entrepreneurial hearts, and they have really shined through this whole pandemic. Even though it put a spotlight on some of our more difficult issues in our county and in our region, they came through with flying colors and have learned new skills that they didn't know they had, or, worked through it to get over that brick wall, of having to do business differently.
It's a word we definitely have to use to pivot in our thinking and in the way of doing business, not only for the business owners, but I'm sure also for a lot of the employees, learning how to work remotely. Right.
Yeah, learning how to work remotely and then not only that, but then having to see how they could, manage their human resource issues remotely. A lot of people that worked remotely also had children that were going to school remotely. So the way we do business and the way employees work for businesses has changed completely around.
I guess the landscape for the workforce has definitely changed, especially those who went remote and now are expected to go back to work and sort of, had to change their ways of how to work from home remotely and are, productive. But that does have a domino effect, because now you have these people who are not commuting to work and not purchasing things from businesses on the way to work and the way back from work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the biggest problems now that has been, as we're on the path to recovery, is the shortage of workers. The workforce right now is at its lowest point than it's been, and we have, I can give you some statistics, but our economic resurgence is being held back by this unprecedented workforce shortage, and it's not getting better right away. And this is something that we as a chamber are working with our local economic development partners to try to find solutions and try to help our businesses, weather through this. So, what we're seeing is that a lot of our businesses are turning down work because, or only partially reopening because they can't find enough workers. Let's see. As of last Tuesday, 9.3 million job openings were available at the end of April, and 9.8 million unemployed Americans. That represents a single month increase of 1 million openings for jobs, and more than 2.5 million job openings have been added in 2021 alone. Food services are the ones with the greatest increase in job openings. They added 349,000 openings. Other services added 115,000 openings, and this is all for the month of April from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And then the durable goods manufacturing added another 78,000 openings. But the gap is narrowing, and but we are working with, like, for instance, here in our county, we are working with workforce development to help them get the word out about their program, to help employers find the right employees. And they have a lot of programs that would assist small business owners and even larger business owners in finding those employees. They have grant programs whereby they would pay for half the salary while you're training somebody. So maybe somebody doesn't know what you do, you know, what you have going on in your business. You can train them and get half of their salary back. So there's real incentive there to help. And they're working to break down those barriers that are, out there now to help people. You know, childcare is a big, hurdle to cross for people who need to go back to work, but they can't because their kids are still in remote learning instances. So workforce services, economic development, our Chamber of Commerce, we're all working together to try to overcome these obstacles and break down these barriers that are preventing people from going back to work full-time or part-time. And, you know, we're working as hard as we can, but it is a struggle, and that's what's going on now. People really want to get out there and reopen and do the kind of business. You know, Sullivan County was experiencing a renaissance before the COVID pandemic hit, and they are on their way to continuing that renaissance. But the lack of workers is the biggest number one issue in our area and across the country, frankly. We're not the only ones. We're not in this alone. But we are working hard with our economic development partners. We're working hard with, the New York State economic developers here, and we're working with the federal and, you know, anybody we can to help produce a solution and advocate for our businesses and help them get back on their feet again.
If I can interrupt you for a second, it's great that you are looking for solutions and you have, coming up with solutions. But what is exactly causing this work shortage that's happening now?
Well, again, I had talked about childcare, lack of childcare, because childcare places haven't opened back up, or it was a low lack of childcare before we went into the pandemic. That was always a problem, but now it's been exacerbated by the problem. The other thing is people are a little worried about going back to work yet. Or haven't been fully vaccinated or so forth, or there's some issues with that and health and wellness, and they are not choosing to go back to work in person. And so, or maybe they feel like some of the barriers are employers might be trying to hire somebody with a college education to do a job, maybe they don't need a college education. So we have to break down those barriers of, misinformation, or maybe help employers to say, okay, maybe I can train somebody to do this, and then work with workforce development to get those grants to help them train somebody and get back up and running at 100%.
Definitely. And they said it does seem things – like things are recovering. Like I said, we spoke earlier about just passing through, just the eye survey of just passing through like Narrowsburg and Wurzburg and Mountaindale over the weekend, is and the shops are open, people are shopping, and people are eating out and dining and going to the restaurants.
Yes, it's been great to see that, and it's so wonderful to get back out there and see all those businesses, you know, hustling and open for business, and see all those people and see our friends and our acquaintances again. It's a great feeling. The Chamber just had their first Friday breakfast for June, and it was in person, and I can tell you the feeling in the room was mutual between everybody coming out to say hello and not having to wear the masks or, you know, not having to socially distance as big a gap, and being able to hug people again has been wonderful.
Was this your first Friday in-person meeting since, I guess, the start of the pandemic, and when you had to sort of shut down this meeting?
Yes, go virtually? Yes, it was. Yeah, since last year. So it was really a great experience, and we had a really good turnout. So it was wonderful. We had it at the Hurleyville Performing Arts Center. What a great venue that was.
Now we're entering or about to enter one of the busy seasons in Sullivan County, the summer season, and leading up to the fall. What is your outlook now with the vaccine is here and the infection rate is low and businesses are opening up again?
It's bright. It's very bright. We're, like I said before, we're experiencing a continuation and maybe even a surge or renaissance of our downtown areas, especially. I think during the pandemic, we all learned, not just in our area, but across the United States, what a great thing local businesses are, and how much we appreciate all that they do and what they do, and are you know, looking at their essential role in our economy, I think came to light during the pandemic. For instance, I believe that our small businesses have become a quality of life indicator. They are, when you go to Mountaindale, like, you know, you and I did this weekend, or Narrowsburg, or any of these small rural towns that had, you know, things going on this weekend, and we look at the businesses that are opening up, it shows me as a, looking as an outsider in, I'm an insider now, but looking from the outside in, I want to live in that town. I want to be part of that community and part of that culture. When I see all these businesses not only just opening up, but thriving, you know, and seeing the happy faces of people participating in events and things going on in the towns. So it's become really obvious. I think the pandemic has really opened our eyes to just how important our local small businesses are, not only to our economy, but to our quality of life.
Now, if anybody needs help, like either business or needs more information, where can they reach the Chamber?
Well, you can reach us on our website at catskills.com, or they can call the Chamber at 845-791-4200 and ask for Jerry or Jamie, extension 3 or 4, and we'll be more than happy to point you in the right direction. We are offering webinars on grant programs and things offered throughout the state. We're also offering entrepreneurial training starting back up in the fall. We also, you know, are having a membership drive right now. Prices have never been lower to join the Chamber. And the reasons haven't been, I don't think in our history, have been more important than when we first got started back in the 1970s during the gas crisis. We have been the voice of business, not only advocating for businesses, but providing our membership and the business community with information that's so needed. You know, with the way things changed during the pandemic, every day we're getting new information in. We were disseminating it as fast as we could possibly do it without calling on each person in the community while the pandemic was raging. We were utilizing every tool that we had in our toolbox to help people and then some. So that's, you know, you get a hold of us, we'll help you even in the good times. We'll help you even more. It'll be a little more happier.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. Like I said, things are recovering and things are on the up and up. So now, so, well, Jamie, thank you so much for talking to us, letting us know what's going on with the Sullivan County Chamber and letting us know what happened this past year with the coronavirus pandemic and how, you know, people were able to power through this. So I do really appreciate you coming on.